Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Pure power, bold style and unadulterated road presence. The all-new Opel Mokka.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, later this morning, employment law specialist Richard Grogan will be here to answer your questions. The return to the office, working from another country, your rights to refuse a vaccine and any other issues you want to raise. You can text us on 51551. You can email today. todaycb@rte.ie. I'm just looking at a tweet which has come in here from geriatrician Joe Harbison saying, fantastic news. We've just been informed that St. James's, the biggest hospital in the country, has no inpatients with COVID for the first time since March 2020, which brings me nicely into our next piece, because next week we'll see people aged 30 to 39 register for their COVID vaccines. So just how much vaccine hesitancy actually exists in this cohort? I'm joined now by Cliona O'Farrelly, who's Professor of Comparative Immunology. Cliona, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Damien.
What vaccine will be offered to this age group, and what does this mean for the vaccine rollout to have reached this point?
Oh, it's just fantastic. I mean, I heard your previous piece just before the ads, and I agree completely with Thomas Byrne that what has been achieved already is really phenomenal. And anybody who has had any of the vaccines will attest to this, that the level of competency and organisation and pleasantness is just really admirable. So it really is very exciting that we're getting close to the 30s and the 20-year-olds. Absolutely wonderful.
And, you know, we've been hearing anecdotally that as we go down the age groups, you know, to under 40, under 30, that less people will probably take it up in this age cohort. What do you think of that?
To be perfectly honest, I think it's journalists trying to make a story out of nothing, and they should look
never,
at the other
never,
side
we wouldn't do that, Cliona.
I mean, the fact that vaccine hesitancy is so low in this country, and here I give you credit for this, is first of all something to be celebrated, and secondly, I think is probably a reflection of the relationship developed between journalists and scientists and academics and infectious diseases doctors. So, yeah, I think the nation is overall is just so aware of what's happening scientifically, and I think they've been, in the main, I think we've all been very honest with what has happened and where the problems arise. And I think because of that, the vast majority of people, I mean, we're in the 90s, or 90% of people accepting are accepting vaccination. And I think we should also acknowledge the fact that a proportion of the 10% who say they're not taking is actually hesitancy, not anti-vaccine. They want to be assured. And let's think about this group. I think some of the polls, while they have described 90 to 94% uptake in all age groups in Ireland, this is the one that has the lowest.
Are we ahead of Europe and the USA, for example, in that regard?
Way ahead. We're not ahead of everybody in Europe, but we're top of the class in the world, definitely. I mean, there are countries in the world where vaccine hesitancy is down at is at 50%. Sorry, it's up at 50%.
Why is that, Cliona?
But for precisely the reasons that I was saying, I think huge suspicion and lack of confidence and trust in what they're being told. And I think the lack, there really has been such a lot over the pandemic, a lot of very reasonable discussion and debate. And you're hearing a consistent voice, I think, overall, from the immunologists and the infectious diseases doctors. But your listeners are sophisticated enough to, I think, to appreciate that even though we're all working off the same or similar material and would have similar ideas, there are slightly different viewpoints, you know, like you asked me there as to which vaccine is going to come up. And this is something people really are interested in, which is the best vaccine and which one should they take. But and because they're hearing, and I can go into a lot of detail around that if you wanted me to, but I'm sure you don't. But the bottom line is we're all saying a vaccine is better than no vaccine.
Yeah, but the reason I asked you there is why is there more hesitancy in other places? Is it because you're saying it's because it's what they're being told? And that is the key, isn't it? Who is telling them and how are they sourcing that information?
Exactly. Now, I should just come back, and because I know you kind of want to go on to this in a minute, and just to acknowledge the level of hesitancy being high in the 30 to 39s and the 20. We must remember that this is the group that is most likely to have pregnant women in it. And not only, and for every woman who's pregnant, there's at least two trying to get pregnant. And a really tragic thing is, again, we're only acknowledging this in our society, that there's this, 10% of women who try to get pregnant will have difficulties. And so anybody who's in that category is going to be really careful about what they take into their bodies. I mean, we all know, and I've been pregnant three times myself, that we're very careful about what we put. We think about each cup of coffee, for heaven's sake. So, of course, we're going to think carefully about vaccines. But I can come on to that. I can come on to that question a little bit later.
We will come back to that. But just on the hesitancy, while people don't want to ever be labelled as being, you know, anti-vax or anything like that. Isn't it healthy maybe to be a little bit quizzical? Because we simply don't know. I mean, is there a part of you that would think that the effects of this, if there were going to be negative effects, if there were going to be negative effects, like people say, well, you mightn't see it immediately. So how far down the road will we go with this before we can safely say, look, there's going to be, this is totally safe as a vaccine?
Well, you see, you're putting your finger on precisely the problem, that we're collecting the data as we speak. You know, we only have been vaccinating people for 6 months, so we only have 6 months of data. But what we can say from other vaccines and from this one is that millions and millions and millions of people are getting it, and it looks like that the side effects are really minimal, whereas we know that the virus is having really terrible effects, both in terms of life and death. And then the other real unknown that's causing the healthcare workers concern is this long COVID.
Yes.
What a certain proportion of people are getting, and it's a real puzzle. Now, it made through life, I'm sure you remember, over the years, many, many programs on ME, you know, and a lot of those people being kind of dismissed because it wasn't felt to be a real thing. But people had always thought that it was the sequelae to viral infection. And so long COVID is going to teach us more about that. And it's looking like for some people, this is really quite a problem and is quite tragic.
Yeah, because
so we want to prevent that.
Yeah, because going back to women who are worried, obviously, the women that are in pregnancy, I think one in three are taking up the vaccine rollout at the moment, as we heard the other day. But then if we go down to obviously under 40s and even under 30s again, you're talking about women there who maybe plan to get pregnant in 10 years or 15 years time. So they're the ones that as well are kind of worried about the effects on fertility, the long term effects. Do you understand that questioning?
Of course, completely understand it. And and I was suggesting to your researcher actually that you put up there's a friend of mine who's a reproductive immunologist in the UK. I do work on reproductive immunology myself. Vicky Mail is her name, and she's a researcher in Imperial College. And you might even think of talking to her, because she's fantastic on social media about pulling together the literature in order and all the data in order to reassure women who are either trying to get pregnant or who are already pregnant.
Right.
I mean, and if we look at, all of us have taken all the other vaccines, there's absolutely no reason to think that this vaccine would have any reason. I can understand the concern because it's new and because we're talking about it.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, the immunology behind it, that this either this infection or this vaccine would have anything to do with fertility, is non-existent. Really.
Professor O'Loughlin, before we Professor O'Farrelly, before I move on to Dara O'Loughlin here, we have a text in here. What about the over 60s? We've drawn the short straw and the dangerous straw with limited protection against the Delta variant. All my friends in the 40s and 50s will be fully vaccinated this month. We are just waiting for Godot, it seems. And that comes in from John. So I think that's back to the AstraZeneca vaccine and the gap there of 12 weeks and people waiting 3 months, and that some of us in our 40s will be fully vaxxed before people in their 60s.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, again, I know this is hard to say when people have suffered so much over the last 12 months, but really just a little bit of patience, because we will all get fully vaccinated and we really need the patience, because the chances are high we're going to have to regularly get vaccinated as new variants come along. And the bottom line is, as I was saying, any vaccine is better than no vaccine. And the evidence that the AstraZeneca is less protective is really very minor. It's minimal. It's relatively minimal in comparison to the protection that it provides. So I think if people could keep that in their heads, they are at least, they are protected from death at the moment with the AstraZeneca, and they are protected from serious infection.
Okay.
Now, whether it stops all this, and it almost definitely won't stop all variants, because, okay, we're concerned about the Delta right now, but there's going to, for as long as the virus exists across the planet, and it's churning away in other countries, and it's developing new variants in other places. So we're going to have to be prepared to be taking vaccines. Suspect. Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. All right, Professor Cliona O'Farrelly in TCE, thank you so much indeed for joining us, and we look forward to chatting to you again as the rollouts continue. Now, I'm joined by the Secretary General of the Irish Pharmacy Union, Dara O'Loughlin. Dara, good morning. Pharmacists are going to be offering the jab, I think, next week for the first time. How's it going to work?
Yes, that's right, Damien. As of next week, pharmacies around the country will have the Janssen or the Johnson & Johnson vaccine available. And it's targeted at anybody aged over 50 who hasn't yet been vaccinated, even people who haven't registered on the vaccination portal. But if you're aged over 50, you haven't been vaccinated and you want to be vaccinated, just contact your nearest participating pharmacy and make an appointment with them, and they'll be able to give you the single dose Janssen vaccine. And of course, the advantage of that vaccine is that it's only one dose, and 2 weeks after that first dose, you're fully vaccinated.
Will it be free?
Yes, it's part of the national program.
Yeah, no, and I'm actually surprised. I had to do a double take this morning. I thought pharmacists were already giving the jab.
We should have been. So when the government approved the vaccination program at the start of the year, the program actually said it's going to be going through vaccination centres, GPs and pharmacies. But for various reasons, the HSE didn't operationalise pharmacies until now. We've been pushing to get involved all year. We've been working as hard as we can with the HSE to try and get over every hurdle that was put in our way. And we're glad that we're finally now in a position to offer vaccinations in communities all around the country. It has taken a long time to get here. At this stage, it's a fairly limited cohort of people who can get the vaccine in a pharmacy. It's just people over 50 who haven't yet been vaccinated. But obviously, the opportunity is there now for the HSE to broaden the cohorts that can get a vaccine in a pharmacy.
And are these people that initially rejected it but might have changed their mind?
They might have. I'd say rejected it could be strong. There would be a lot of people
Well didn't
there
take up the invite.
The opportunity. Didn't take up the opportunity. Maybe couldn't access the portal. Who knows? Maybe have literacy difficulties. Maybe don't have internet access. Maybe it just passed them by.
All right.
Or maybe
it's another
hesitated, but All now right. they can get it.
And briefly, Dara, then, just apropos that text earlier on, just to clarify again, if you're somebody in your 60s that's waiting for your second AstraZeneca, you can't rock up and get the Johnson & Johnson just as your second one.
No, the vaccination program is, you get your second dose will be the same vaccine as your first dose. I know there's a lot of research on crossing over, but the HSE is not doing crossover vaccines at this stage.
All right, so you'll just have to wait to get the call for that second one. All right, we're going to leave it there. Dara O'Loughlin of the Irish Pharmacy Union, thank you very much for joining us.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.